Well, good evening. Welcome, and if you're here for the first time, I want to give you a special welcome. I've had it on my heart just to really share this opening for this year about the importance of getting the biblical and prophetic foundations right of our life. And it's really important, and especially I'll talk a little bit about the prophetic, but also very well-known scriptures that about this. I mean, you take the parable of the sower. If you're taking notes, you can read this in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. This parable is repeated 3 times in the Gospels. And it talks about 4 different types of ground that people, the seed falls upon. And it's very interesting as you look at that. The first one is that he sowed seed. Some seed fell by the wayside and the birds came and devoured them. Never even got the opportunity to get established. That's one. Perhaps that's where Jeff's feeling with his neighbours at the moment. And so on. But hang in there. Then we've got the stony places where the seed fell. There was a quick response that grew up, but because it had no deepness of earth, it withered and fell away. The third one was that seed that was receptive, it was growing well, but it allowed thorns and other things to enter in, and it choked the word. Notice the word did not choke the weeds. And because they allowed those things to come in one of the Gospels it says, and he became unfruitful. And so there was progress, and then there was retraction, going backwards. And then the fourth area was that it fell on good ground, yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So here we've got 4 types of ground or soil that this seed, which is the Word of God, the Gospel, falling into these different areas. Now each of these speaks to me of the importance of having a right foundation. If the foundations were right and prepared, there would have been different results. I mean, when you bring this down, linked into statistics, basically only 25% of the seed sown brought forth a harvest. 75% was wasted because the recipients did not receive it, handle it, or adjust to it correctly. And as a result, they brought forth disaster, destruction, loss into their own lives, where the word withered away, where the word was choked. You see, a foundation is very important. You ask anybody in the building trade, when you build a house, the foundations have got to be attended to first, isn't that right? You don't build the foundations last. And so the foundations determine the success of the house. You can have the most beautiful looking house. It can be no expense spared, but if the foundations are wrong, it's headed for trouble. Isn't that right? You see, and it's same in the spiritual life. If we do not get a good foundation into our lives, and this is something that each of us have a responsibility to do for ourselves, that we have got to learn how to nurture the Word of God that's sown into our hearts. And that's why it is so important that we really get to know what's in this book, the Bible. I may have shared this, but we have free Bible correspondence courses that go all over the world now, but those Bible correspondence courses came about because as a young Christian in my hunger for God, I would go to church, and Christians at church had been Christians for 20, 30 or more years would quote to me what they believed was the scriptures, and I would go home and I'd look up to see what they'd quoted to me, and I discovered that what they quoted was not what the scriptures were saying. They were quoting what they thought the scriptures were saying. And this so concerned me that we've built Bible correspondence courses based on people getting into the Bible, the questions asked from the Bible, and they answer directly from the Bible, to help them to get to know what the scriptures are saying. It's so easy to think that we know what the Bible's saying, but if we don't get into it ourselves, then we are going to miss out on so much. It's so important. Otherwise, we can be like those that respond quickly, but no deepness of earth, no depth in our lives, and we wither up and die. Oh, it didn't work for me, kind of thing. And so we have this challenge that we need to do that. It's very interesting to me, if we just, while we're in Matthew, go back to chapter 7, and Jesus summarized the whole of the Sermon on the Mount by giving us this illustration of the wise man and the foolish man. Actually, if we go to Luke's version, because that's much more clearer about what we're talking tonight, it says here, reading, this is Jesus speaking, this is after he's just, Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to the end, 49, where Jesus is talking about, you'll know people by their fruits, and that a good tree brings forth good fruit, a bad tree does not produce good fruit, you see, and that all depends on what that tree is planted and so on. And he says this, a good man out of the good tree, verse 45, out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of his heart his mouth speaks. You see, we give ourselves away by what comes out of here, by what we produce. That's why Jesus said it's not by your gifts are you known, but by your fruit. What is the fruit that we are producing? And then in verse 46 he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Then he said, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Okay? And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. In other words, the foundations were secure. The foundations made that house stable against all the elements that would come against it. It stood in the midst of storms. But it says there, but he who heard the same word from the mouth of the same Jesus as the wise man did, but he thought he knew some shortcuts. And he went and he built his house on the earth, it says, without a foundation. He didn't know the importance of foundations. Now, it is quite possible that his house looked every bit as good as the wise man, maybe even flasher. We don't know. But you see, the issue was not the what you see, the issue was what you don't see. The foundations in your life. And this foolish man was foolish because he heard the word of Jesus, he heard what Jesus said, but he didn't do it. He was just a passive receiver. And so on. And so it says, he built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now here you have two men who hear exactly the same words from Jesus, and yet they have two totally different end results. And the reason was because one was careful to lay foundations, was careful to apply the word according to what Jesus had said. And this is just so vital for us. I mean, why are there so many lukewarms up and down Christians today? It's because they're not building foundations into their lives that will enable them to stand. Notice here in life, it didn't say if the storms came. When? Every one of us will face adversities, trials, testings, opposition, persecution, and so on like that. And it's in those times that will determine how strong your foundation really is. And even Jesus himself was opposed and persecuted, and yet he's the Son of God. You see, and so the foundations are very important. Now, I don't know everybody that comes here. I don't know where you're at. But what are the basic foundations of Christianity today? One, repentance. We must all repent of our sins and come to Jesus, asking his forgiveness so he gives us a fresh start, or as the Bible says, we get born again. Where we have a whole new start, a whole new beginning, and we're able to walk with Jesus with the past forgiven and forgotten. If we allow it to be forgiven and forgotten. Okay? So then what's the next step? Getting water baptized. I don't know if everybody here has been water baptized or not, but if you haven't, it's so important that you do, because you are fulfilling scriptures as part of our obedience to Jesus Christ. And if you have never been baptized in water by full immersion, then please come and see me. We can arrange to have that done for you. Or if you're part of a church and you need to go and you want to be baptized in your church, you need to go and see your minister or whoever's in charge and say, look, I want to be baptized in water. It's important. If Jesus told us to do that, and the early church message was very strong, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that's the third level of our foundation, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you know that you are filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you had an encounter with God where you can say, I have received power when the Holy Spirit come upon me? As I understand it from scriptures, there are three evidences that the Bible gives us that you can know if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. One, you receive power in your life you didn't have before. Secondly, you receive a spiritual language that you can communicate to God spirit to spirit. We call it speaking in other tongues. But God is a spirit. He gives us a spiritual language so that we can communicate with him. Now, it's very different to natural languages. And I know some people get the gift where they can go into a country and God gives them a gift where they can speak the local language and people, wow, and they don't know themselves what they're saying. But we have also learned through experience and that person that speaks in tongues, it's very different than somebody is speaking out of intellectual language. Gene's dad had a stroke. He was a pastor. In the last 3 years of his life, he could not speak as a result of that stroke. And one day, I'm full of the Holy Spirit, and I'm walking in the house thinking no one was around. I go into this room, speaking in tongues out loud, and there he's sitting in his wheelchair, and his eyes lit up, and the next thing he's speaking in tongues back to me. Yet he could never speak in English till the day he died. And so we learned, when we went round there, we'd have a tongues talking session together. And he would just, his eyes would light up and his face would beam and that. And it showed me, you see, the spirit bypasses the intellect. This is our biggest battleground, folks. Yes. This thing here, you can call it a brick if you like, is what gets in the way of the spirit of truth working in and through our lives in power. Amen? Now, this is not something to be afraid of, but it's something that we really need to be pursuing. If you haven't got that freedom in tongues, then, you know, we can pray, or you can go pray, walk, and ask God. But the thing is, make it a priority. It makes a difference when it comes to hearing the voice of God in your life. and so on. You see, and the third evidence that I see in the scriptures, when you know you're filled with the Spirit, you have an ability to prophesy. And you can read this in Luke 24, Acts 1 and Acts 2, where it brings these things out. This is that Peter said, which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come today in the last come to pass in the last days, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. What is prophesying? It's simply you and I being a mouthpiece to the Spirit of God and bringing now words from the heart of Jesus to the people. That's what prophesying is. Now, we should all want to be doing that. Okay? And so it's important, if these are foundations, let's make sure our foundations are right. Amen? So we can get on and we can really build upon that foundation and see things happening. Now, what about the prophetic side of our lives? Well, many of you know my testimony and that, but Gospel Faith Messenger is just about completed 49 years of operation. In these years, we have touched hundreds of thousands of lives all around the world. People wonder what we do with our time. I don't know. Anyway, we are operating today, 49 years later, on the prophetic foundation that God gave to me in the first year of me being filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said this, if you will get to know my voice and you will do what I ask you, there is nowhere in this world where you and I cannot go together and we not be successful. The key to the whole of Christianity is in yours and my ability to discern, to recognize how and when God is speaking to us. We stand or fall on that. That's why I believe the devil's number one strategy against the Christian is simply to make us doubt the voice of God. Because if you doubt it, you do nothing. Oh, you might commit it to prayer till the conviction goes away. But we don't respond to it in a practical way because we doubt it. And to obey the voice of God often means you've got to step outside the realm of natural reasoning because it doesn't make sense. Because God's ways are higher than our ways. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And so the voice of God is absolutely essential. That's why we can run a ministry. This is a testimony, I'm not just bragging here, that we have seen hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years released to this ministry without us asking people to support us, touching hundreds of thousands of lives all around the world. Logically, the way we operate is ridiculous, but it works. And because the voice or the word of the Lord is right. But if you are not convinced about that, friends, you are not going to make the adjustments in your life where you will put your response to the voice of God above everything else. You see, I've learned this. If I do not demonstrate to God that I believe what he's saying to me by my total commitment, which often involves a practical act of obedience, if I don't demonstrate that to God, then, you know, how can I obey God? If I'm not convinced it's God, I'm not going to get out there on the edge and do stupid things and make crazy proclamations if I'm all doubting that it's God. But you see, when you know the voice of God, and remember this, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they don't know. I find that ironic today. You know, we get taught about all the strange voices, doctrines and everything else, but if we know the true voice, we'll discern the wrong one when it comes. You see. And so, foundations are important. In my first year, of being a Spirit-filled Christian. I mean, God spoke to me, called me to the ministry. The morning I was sovereignly baptized in the Holy Spirit in the middle of a herd of cows. Because I didn't have the fear of cows, I had the fear of people, and I never got filled with people. So if you're having difficulties getting filled with the Spirit amongst people, find a herd of cows or sheep somewhere and see what happens. But that morning I had an encounter with God that I was in absolutely no doubt that it was God. What else could it have been? I'm out there in the middle of a herd of cows. And next thing, I'm speaking in this language that I've never learned, and it poured out of me as though I've been speaking it all my life. And at the end of that, this is what I heard very clearly. I am raising you up to be a preacher of the gospel. And my sign to you that I'm raising you up to be a preacher of the gospel is that I am going to open doors for you to preach straight away. I think, well, how on earth can that happen? I'm 18 years and 2 months old. Yet that's exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. And I've been preaching ever since. And God has spoken to me over the years and given us things. I was just telling Trev before, you know, like, you know, in pastoring that, we've been involved with 2 church building programs. We didn't have the money in the bank, but both times we paid cash. Because God's prophetic foundation for that first church we pastored was that if we would do what God told us, we would never lack financial provision. That didn't mean to say we had thousands in the bank. We didn't. But whenever we had a major thing to do that cost thousands of dollars, God released it, it came in. And I mean, that's quite a testimony, friends, not to pay 1 cent of interest on 2 church building programs. And then he threw the house in next door to go with it. And so on. And so my testimony, which I believe lines up with the Word of God, is that with Jesus Christ, who's alive today, He saves us because He's longing for relationship, fellowship, to talk to us. And He wants to show Himself strong on our behalf so that we can have the joy of being workers together with God. And that we can be part of a ministry, no matter how big or small it may seem at this point, but it will bring forth glory to God. When we are obedient to the voice of God, there will be a God factor somewhere there that people cannot logically explain away. You hear what I'm saying? So, why do we not see a whole lot more ministries like this happening today? Now, after 52 or 53 years of ministry in that, you know, I'm surprised that Christians are not taught more about this area of how do we know when God's talking to us. You've heard me say, God spoke this to me one morning. He said, every great man and woman in the Word of God all started out as a total unknown nobody until one event happened in the life of them all. He said, they all heard the voice of the Lord and obeyed. That's the difference between somebody who's going to bring forth fruit and somebody who's going to fall by the wayside. Mm. And we've got to watch today, especially in this Western society, we have allowed the world to so influence us Christians, we haven't recognized that they're actually thorns and thistles and weeds that grow into our lives. And then we wonder why we're not more fruitful than we are. We wonder why God's not using me like He should be and so on. Well, listen, folks, the problem is not with God. The problem is with us and how we are building upon that foundation that He's given us. Here it is. Do we know what's in it? Do we know how to interpret it? I'm absolutely shocked at how many Christians I meet that are still living under old covenant mindsets. And everything's commandments, legals, laws and things like that. Listen, friends, without Jesus you can't keep the Ten Commandments, and with Jesus you don't need them. Do you hear what I'm saying? But we've got to have written rules and stuff on the world, because we've got so conditioned by the world that we think that's the way. That's not the way Jesus, that's not what he died to come and bring to us. He wants us to know the joy. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? Sons of God. You know, that he wants to share his glory in that with us and so on like that. I cannot ever recall an act of obedience on the voice of God where it's gone sour. Or it may not be received by people. But every time I've heard the voice of God and I know it's God and I've stepped out, somehow my obedience unties God's hands to bring to pass what he's promised. You see, and that's what it's about for us. It's about a relationship. It's not religion. It's not law. It's relationship. Yes?
Is that an audible voice?
Well, this is, it can be. We have, this is where we have to discern the way God speaks. Now, if you want to do an interesting Bible study, you just look in the scriptures as to how many different ways God spoke in the Bible. And you will find there are between 30 and 40 distinct different ways that God spoke. Now, I say this, we have to come to know the voice of God so that God can speak to us any way he wants to, and we will still know it's him. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, he spoke to Samuel in a still small voice, and Eli the high priest didn't know what he was talking about. He spoke to, was it Balaam, through a donkey? You know, nobody available. Spoke to Peter through a rooster. He speaks through visions, through dreams, through spiritual gifts, through the prophet gifts and so on like that. He can speak through impressions. He can speak through people. That's why, you know, we are strong advocates of everybody flowing in the nine spiritual gifts. Because those spiritual gifts all represent an aspect of the voice of God. You don't get out and say, I've got a word of knowledge for you, and I don't know where that was, or anything like that. You step out because you have an impression, a conviction that God's told you something about that person. You don't just stand up to prophesy, yea, verily, I've got nothing to say. For some, it would be good if they didn't. But you hear what I'm saying here. So, how important is the prophetic word? Here's some interesting thing. The Apostle Paul in Acts 9, 22 and 26 was given the prophetic foundation for his entire life and ministry on the third day after he was saved. You read about it? God's voice came to him. The moment Saul discerned the voice of Jesus, things totally changed for him. And when he recognized the voice of Jesus, Paul, Saul, turned from an angry, persecuting Christian's guy to, Lord, what will you have me to do? And immediately God gave him a test. You go into Damascus and you wait until one of my disciples comes and tells you what to do. He hated disciples. So God's testing his commitment. You know, is our commitment real from the heart, or is it the service? So he goes. And God speaks to Ananias. This is in Acts 9. And I like to picture it like this. Ananias is having his daily devotions, you know, having a wonderful time. And God says, oi, I've got a job for you. I want you to walk down the road, find a street called Straight Street, walk down there and you'll come to a house. The door is open, you see a man on his knees praying. I want you to go in there, lay your hands on him, that he might receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And by the name, his name is so. Oh, what a wonderful revelation till Jesus gave him the name. Because everybody knew what Saul was coming to Damascus for. And so now, if he's anything like you and me, Saul just felt led to extend his devotions. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. It's good to be here. Oi! I got a job for you. Go! I have chosen him to bear my name before the Gentiles. And I will show him what great things he will suffer for my name's sake. And so Ananias, now directly on the word of Jesus, no human being has told him that Saul is now born again. He's walking in obedience directly according to the voice of the Lord. And he goes down the street, he finds it exactly like the Holy Spirit told him. He comes to the house, the door's open, and there's Paul on his knees praying. And he walks into the house, and I love what he says, Brother Saul. Brother Saul, I mean, he's the last guy you would have had for a brother a day or two before. Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus, who appeared to you, this is the prophetic, who appeared to you on the way and told you that I was coming. That's a challenge, friends. Can God so trust yours and my obedience that he can actually give other people your name and tell them you're coming? God knew Ananias would obey him. Otherwise, it would have been God praying, oh Lord, help Ananias. No, he doesn't operate like that. And Ananias, in obedience to the voice of the Lord, lays hands on Saul. He's filled with the Spirit. The scales fall off his eyes and so on. And then if you read in Acts 22, Ananias prophesies over Saul. The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his voice and know his will and hear his voice, and you will hear the voice of his mouth and so on. See the just one called Jesus. And when you look at that, I believe that prophetic word given to the Apostle Paul is a principle that every Christian needs to walk in. We need to know we're chosen of God. We need to know God's will for our life. Otherwise, we'll just be flitting through life, hoping and wondering, and, you know, we'll be hit and miss all the way. God doesn't want us like that. God wants us all to be fruitful vessels where we've got something to show for our walk with Jesus. You hear me? We've got to have something to show, friends. Unless there's a God factor in our lives, the world out there today is not even going to be convinced that Christianity is real or for them. They have got to see something of the God factor in us. And this is where our obedience of God to God always brings a testimony at the other end. And you've got a story to tell of changed lives and so on. Every one of us need to know we're chosen. We need to know his voice. We need to see Jesus, and we need to hear the voice of his mouth. And he said, that's what makes you a witness to all men of what you've seen and heard. We all need that kind of experience. I remember the story of a Welsh guy who came to New Zealand. He was an Assemblies of God pastor for a number of years in New Zealand. And he used to be a coal miner in Wales. And he was, you know, on fire for God, and he was witnessing to these hardened coal miners one day and telling them about Jesus, and one of them stopped him right in his tracks and he said, listen here, George, it's no use trying to convince us until you yourself are convinced about what you're saying. God used that to really impact him into his life, that it wasn't just parroting words. He himself had to be convinced. Like Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Amen? What a tremendous challenge we have. And so you can read Acts 9, 22 and 26 and you will see how Paul was connected to the voice of God right at the beginning. Peter and Andrew, the same in Matthew 4. Jesus met them, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Those words had such an impact, it says, they forsook all and followed him. Well, there's got to be something impacting about that. They left their occupations and everything. Something about the voice of Jesus so arrested them, so convicted and convinced them that they were prepared to forsake all and follow him. And they did. James and John in the same chapter. He called them and they followed. And you go to Matthew chapter 10 and you see where he chose the 12 and he called them and sent them forth and he commissioned them to, as you go, preach the gospel, pray for the sick, heal the lepers, raise the dead even. We've got a full-time minister in the church today for that, haven't we? You know, I'm not being critical here. But the thing is, folks, every one of us knows there's something that's really lacking. When we try and compare Christianity of the Bible to what we are having today, there's got to be something more. And do you know something? I've learnt this. I was sharing with Trev my experience in the ministry. If I want God to use me more, he's got to get more of me. I can't blame other people for why I'm not where I should be in God. You look in the scriptures, every time great things happen, they happened as a result of God getting a hold of a man or woman and transforming their lives and changing them around, rearranging their lives in such a way that he had a vessel to speak through, to work through, to do things through. You know, and some of these guys, we most likely wouldn't have liked the preparation that they went through, but you take John the Baptist, 30 years in the wilderness. All for a 6-month ministry. But boy, what a ministry. Jesus, people couldn't accept him as the Son of God all the time. Oh, you're just the son of, most likely the illegitimate son of Mary, you know, all this sort of stuff. But Jesus did things that people knew it had to be God. And I believe it's not being presumptuous or anything, but Jesus wants us to be like that. He said these signs will follow those that believe. Today, believers are chasing signs all over the world. And then they wonder why it all goes flat. You see, the kingdom of God's within us. Jesus, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all resident within us. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I jokingly say, but it's serious too. You know, if you could put your ear on your tummy, you'd hear God say, let me out of here, I want to do something. You know? We're called. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, right from the time I was filled with the Holy Spirit, it was never good enough for me just to rely on what other people told me about God. I wanted to know for myself. And so I pressed in, I sought the Lord, and God spoke to me. And I just want to encourage you all tonight to be thinking a bit. If you are feeling somewhat, well, where did I miss it? Where did I go wrong? Let me just encourage you, think back, right from the very beginning of your Christian life, what did God say to you then? What did you hear of the voice of God? Because he says, I'm the Lord, I change not. What he promised you and me right back there, as far as he is concerned, still holds true today. God doesn't change his mind about us. We may change our mind about him. But what he's spoken to you, every word of God is true. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. There is no lie in what Jesus says to us. And he said, you shall know the truth, which is what he says, and the truth will set you free. Every one of us, you know, here tonight, we should be as free as we have ever been all our life because of a relationship with Jesus. But you know what? This is the reality of it. That the Holy Spirit spoke clearly to someone here tonight and said, I want you to go and prophesy this over someone else in this meeting. We'd go into a big argument and say, I can't. I'm too shy. What if it's not you? Come on. We should be further advanced than that. But I understand, because I travel the world and I've seen it's a novelty to see churches operating in the gifts of the Spirit and so on. I've told you the story when my first time in Wales, you know, I had a word of knowledge in this Pentecostal church that was celebrating 50 years of existence, and I had a word of knowledge for someone in the meeting, and a lady got up out of a chair and she went to the pastor out loud so I could hear. She said, Pastor, what was that? Is this man moving in the occult? I never experienced spiritual gifts. Pentecostal churches and so on. The only churches I get banned from releasing people in spiritual gifts are Pentecostal ones, and they're crazy. I mean, we're supposed to be leading the way. And so on. That's why I love going into these Orthodox, what we call Orthodox churches today. We have wonderful times there because they're hungry, they're open. They don't invite you if they're not. But we see good things happening. You know, when I was still 18, I had an experience with God. Jean was there. It was my first conference or convention. It was up in a little place called Tuai on the shores or just off Lake Waikiri Moana from Wairoa. We're in bed at about midnight. We're sovereignly woken, drawn out of our beds in our dressing gowns, pajamas and nighties, drawn into this big tent. People just began to worship the Lord. Now there's no electricity, it's 12:30 at night, and I tell you folks, as true as I stand here, the glory of God came down in that place and lit the whole tent up. And you could see people as clearer than I can see you here right now. And when this glory of God came down, this is what we saw all over that tent. People fell face first into a sawdust floor, and as their faces hit the sawdust, they were sovereignly baptized in the Holy Spirit. So they blew all the sawdust out and got the Holy Spirit in. But when you're in those kind of situations, folks, it has an lasting impression on you. I remember a meeting in Foxton, just up the road here. We were in bed, we used to have a van, we slept in the back at the time, and, you know, in the middle of the night, virtually, or about 10:30, one of the young...
Older than 18.
What's that? Let's say I was 21 now, because I was married to her, weren't we? And I waited till I was 20 to get married. And we're asleep in the van. There's a knock on the door, and this 16-year-old boy, Maori boy, comes and says, "Come see what's happening inside. Something's happening." And we went inside the house, and here's all these Maori people. And if you know how they sleep Maori style, with a mattress and children on either side of adults and all around the room. And go in there, and here's this other young guy sitting against the wall, just weeping. And then people were weeping with him. And he'd stop, everyone stop, and he'd start weeping, and they'd start weeping. And it was just the presence of God there. It was awesome. And there were these 7, 8 year old children fast asleep next to their parents, would suddenly sit up, prophesy, go straight back to sleep. And in the next 10 minutes, we watched those prophecies come to pass before our eyes. That was just amazing. We need more children prophesying. They seem to do it better than us. You know, the presence of God was so strong that the next morning, in the final meeting at this conference, the presence of God was so powerful. I've never been in a meeting like it before since. No preaching. The Holy Spirit, and I've never ever seen this happen, just brought such conviction on people on the way they dressed. It convicted people that you're coming into the presence of God. And you come in respectable. And things like that. You see, when God's allowed to have his way, and usually someone has to be obedient to God to let that happen. Otherwise the program takes over. And you all know how much power is in a program, don't you? Eh? We need deliverance from programs. But when you have these experiences, watching the clock. You know, when I started to preach, we were out at a Maori marae just north of Foxton, and it all started. There was a move of God happened there, because in the very first meeting, Jean's dad was asked to pray for a 2-year-old boy with a badly deformed club foot, and it was instantly totally healed. And people came from all around the region every Thursday night to this Maori marae. And I'm sitting in this meeting this night trying to get in the presence of God, loving God. And this far in front of me was this little Maori girl. Her eyes were so crossed. I mean, it was horrible. And she's in my face over her father's shoulder. And I've got this about this in my face. I'm trying to get in the presence of God. And this little Maori girl with her eyes so badly crossed and snot running down her face, you know. And I'm trying to get in the presence of God. And I'm going... You know, and I was starting to get a bit agitated, and I started to complain to God about it. And the next thing, this girl's cross eyes went straight and just stared at me with the 2 eyes. Now it was my turn to repent. But the power of God was present to heal. And scores of people came to those meetings and got saved and healed and delivered and set free. And it was amazing. A church started out of that, and it was just, you know, the power of God. The voice of God, friends, is the key to your now and to your future. Don't doubt it. Trust the Lord, we say. It's easy to tell someone else, trust the Lord. But do you trust the Lord? Huh? Easier said than done, isn't it? You know, I've been preaching faith in that for years, and so God speaks to me and tells me to resign all my salary position, live by faith, don't ask for financial support. I've never felt so vulnerable in all my life. I jokingly tell people I felt the gift of dysentery coming on. Well, what would you get? Anyway, but you know what? We pass through that vulnerability stage. I've never been so secure in all my life. You see, because it's a God thing. And God has got to be God in our life. And, you know, we can help by making sure we've got a right foundation built into our lives. Don't take shortcuts. Build upon the Word of God. Build upon the voice of God. Build upon the principles of this word. Amen? Yeah. Let out of the mouth of two or three witnesses every word be established. Yeah. Don't get into this rut that we, many of you have most likely met, as we have over the years even had them in the family and stuff, you know, where it's all the Lord told me. And you can't convince them that they're wrong, but there's no fruit come out of it. You know? We're living in a day, friends, when the true disciples of Jesus need to stand up. And we need to be declaring a message that we've heard right from the heart of Jesus himself. That's why. Learn that when Jesus speaks to you, I don't care how busy you are, what you're doing, if he's number one in your life, drop whatever you're doing and give attention to what he's saying. Now that's a discipline you've got to learn. Because in my earlier days, God would speak to me and I'd say, I'll do that tonight, Lord. And I'd put it off. And at night, I'm too tired, I got caught up watching TV or something like that, and I miss so many opportunities. I wish I'd learnt these principles sooner. But today, I honestly believe I know when God's speaking to me. And when he speaks, I drop everything else and I capture that word somehow so I know exactly what he said to me. And let me just give you a little hint here. Don't change the wording. If God speaks to you with words that you don't understand, don't put your interpretation on it. Because whatever God says is right, and it's right for you. God does not play cat and mouse with us. He doesn't say something and doesn't mean it. He means what he says. And he wants the best for you and me. But if we don't have a good foundation in our day, what's wrong with you? I suppose, anyway, I wouldn't want to sit there myself. Anyway, if we have got, like in that parable, shallow root systems, because it says in one of the Gospels there, their roots did not go down deep. How deep are your roots in the purposes of God? The one we really got to watch, where it talks about the cares and pleasures of this life and the deceitfulness of riches, enters in and chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. So we go into reverse when we are supposed to be going forwards. Amen? And so, foundations. You are responsible for your foundation, I'm responsible for mine. If you build a good foundation, you will withstand all the storms of life. And you'll still be standing when others have been blown into the weeds. And we all know people who started off well in this Christian lot, but today they're living lives that are a shame to the Christian faith. Why? The lust of other things entering in choke the word. Which just brings us to another thought quickly. Do we Christians know where the world finishes and spirituality starts? Seems to be so much of the world in the church today. But we've got to be able to discern the difference, because the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because if we're loving the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in us. We have to demonstrate by our actions that Jesus is number one in our life. I can't do that for you. You can't do that for me. But as we demonstrate our love, Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will do what I say. And the whole of Christianity can be summed up in the words of Mary in John 2:5, when she pointed the servants to Jesus and said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. To me, all Christianity comes out of there. Because if we can't do what Jesus asks us to do, then we're never going to amount to anything in God. And God wants us all to become fishers of men, to be fruitful people in the kingdom of God, and that our lives will be a testimony that Jesus Christ is alive today, that he speaks today, and our lives are an example, a testimony that God is for real. Is that right?
Amen.
See, and this is the challenge that we have. So, if you're struggling to get into the scriptures, to have a chat to me after, you might like to go through our Bible courses, where you will be helped to get into the scriptures and things like that. They're free, and so on. There's about 6,000 doing them at the present time. And so, you know, be open to God. Let's be fruitful vines. Let's not make excuses. Because you can do whatever he asks you to do. It's something I learned. God will never ask us to do what we cannot do. We may not have done it before, but if he asks us, we can do it. He's actually trying to answer your prayers when he does that, because we pray, "Oh Lord, increase my faith." Well, how does your faith get increased unless God asks you to do something you've never done before? You've got to get stretched. Isn't that right? And in that stretching, your faith grows. It does. You all know what happened in August in Kenya. God spoke to me and told me to up the tempo. And we've just been able to touch thousands and thousands of people in the last 6 months. It's been wonderful. Just thank the Lord. It pays to listen. It pays to obey.
Yeah.
And if we are wise people, we will build on the foundation that Jesus talks to us about. Let's pray. Lord, we just ask you that you will speak to us, every one of us, in a way that we will know it's you. Help us, Lord, not to be under condemnation for things that we should or shouldn't have done in times by, but Lord, that we will see that every day is a whole new day in Jesus. That, Lord, even tonight you can speak to us, and the result could be the rest of our lives totally changed and used in a way we've never known before, that brings fulfillment like we've never known before. So, Lord Jesus, speak to us. Help us to demonstrate our love to you through our obedience to you by us having a strong foundation in each of our lives, so that we will stand secure with every storm of life that comes against us. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are speaking today. Thank you you've chosen us, Lord, called us by name, so that you can talk to us and we can have a relationship with you, know your will, and Lord, that we can live a life that is just so fulfilling to the glory of God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen. Amen.